This podcast is a production of The Orchard, a church community located in Aurora, Illinois, whose mission is leading people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. Visit us online at orchardvalleyonline.com.
You know, I think that video is, Cliff, such a great reminder for us, isn't it? That, you know, church is really so much more than just something we go to or attend, that really, when it comes down to it, you and I, we are the church. You know, and it's not so much about what we do on Saturdays or Sundays or the weekends. It's who we are on Mondays and Tuesdays and Wednesdays and all of that. And because we are the church. And in fact, turn to the person next to you and say, you are the church. Tell them that, would you? Say, you are the church. Yeah. And church is a beautiful thing. And you know, when you open up the scriptures and you begin to read about the early church, and as you look at some of the earliest followers of Jesus, you really get this idea that they understood this, and that they really saw themselves as actually being the people of God and the church. I mean, in fact, if you have your Bibles, I want to go this morning for a minute to Acts chapter 4. Acts is the fifth book in the New Testament written by Luke, and it contains the most detailed account of the early church you found in the scriptures. And in fact, it's almost impossible to read through Acts without getting excited on the inside. I mean, there's this beautiful picture painted of this organic, and this beautiful movement of followers of Christ. And it's interesting because on one hand, you see this great deal of tension. You know, there's this tension between this new movement of these committed and sold out followers of Jesus, and then you've got sort of this hostility and this anger of the religious leaders towards these followers who these people are just absolutely troubled by what they were seeing, and yet in the midst of all of this persecution, in the midst of all of this, all of the efforts that were being put forth to try to put a stop to it, you also see this amazing determination and this amazing commitment. It's almost like the more that people tried to put a stop to it, the stronger the movement became. And in Acts chapter 4, in verse 32, we see one of the most beautiful pictures painted of anywhere in the scriptures of the early church. And it says these words, verse 32 of Acts chapter 4. It says, all the believers were united in heart and mind. Almost hard to imagine, isn't it? But it says all the believers were united in heart and mind. And they felt that they were that what they owned was not their own. So they shared everything they had. The apostles testified powerfully to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's great blessing was upon them all. And I love this, verse 34, just listen to this. There was no needy people among them, because those who owned land or houses would sell them and bring the money to the apostles to give to those in need. I mean, just an absolutely beautiful, beautiful picture painted that reminds us that when the church is doing and being what God has called it to do and to be, it truly does have the potential to change the world. And even though we can all look back over time and we can all see that, sure, there have been periods of time when perhaps the church hasn't been necessarily a reflection of what we read here, the fact is that even during those times and through persecution, through suffering and through tough times and all of that, nothing has ever been able to put a stop to it. Nothing has ever been able to replace the church. And the reason for that is because the church is God's plan. It is his plan A, it is his plan B, it is his plan C and D, and I could go on down the alphabet. It's his plan. In other words, God does not have any other plan outside of his church, his people, when it comes to his work being done in this world. And of course, while a huge part of that plan has to do with you and me as individuals living missionally, living as sent people, it also has some pretty big implications for us as a church community as well. And of course, that's why I've been really excited about this series that we're wrapping up this weekend, this series we've been in called About. Because I think in the same way as these early followers of Jesus were united, and they were with one heart, they were with one mind, listen, we also have to be united. We also have to be of one heart and one mind if we're truly going to be a part of a movement like we read about in Acts. I mean, a movement of people who ultimately become irreplaceable in the community, in the city that God has placed us in. And so my hope is that this series has been extremely clarifying for you. In fact, hopefully, if we've done our job well, there's going to be a whole bunch of you, you've kind of reached this place now at the end of this series where you just know that you know that you know that you know that this is the kind of church community you want to be a part of. And you find that you are more sold out to the vision and the mission of the Orchard than you've ever been. And then there may be some of you, and I've met tons of you, it blows my mind actually how many of you I've met that are brand new here, in fact, brand new to church, period. And so my guess is there's probably some of you who you're new to this whole idea of church, and you're not quite sure yet, and that's okay too. But then, because we know that, and you've heard me say this, that it's virtually impossible for one church to be the right church for everyone, we also understand that there are probably some of you who, because of the clarity of this series, may be walking away from the series understanding or realizing that perhaps the Orchard is not the right church for you. And, you know, I said this the very first week, that if at any point along the journey you discover that this isn't the right place for you, that's okay. Because see, we would rather you be where God wants you to be, whether it's in this church or another, whatever church it might be, because that's where you're going to be passionately involved, and that's where you're going to be passionately serving and giving and contributing to. But today what I want to do is I want to talk, and I want to wrap up our series by really talking to those of you who sort of land in that first category, those of you who would say, you know what, I am really pretty certain that this is the place God's called me to, and I really believe in the mission. I believe in what you're doing here. And today what I want to do is I want to help you, and I want to challenge you to take ownership of this church community and to devote yourself to it in a greater way than you've ever been devoted to it before. Which for some of you is going to be a shift. For some of you, it's going to mean moving away from being simply a spectator or a consumer and actually getting in the game and taking ownership and investing in people's lives. I mean, because that's what we see in the book of Acts. I mean, we see a group of people who understood that they were the church and that it wasn't about coming to church on a weekend and just warming a seat or just consuming and getting and getting and getting and getting. They understood that there was something so much greater that they could be a part of. And I think part of the reason we see what we see in Acts is because they understood what was at stake. I mean, they understood that the church, it does not belong to a pastor. The church does not belong to a staff or to a denomination, okay? No. See, they understood that the only way the church was going to be what God called it to be was by everybody doing their part. And everybody taking ownership of what God had called them to be a part of. I mean, I think they really got that. As some of you might remember, a few months ago, we did a church-wide survey. And surveys are always interesting, you know. And what's been interesting for us is we've begun to process the survey. We found it to be very helpful in just seeing how we're doing in a few areas of the church. And I have to tell you, for the most part, the results of the survey are very, very encouraging, especially as it pertains to, you know, the number of people who are taking steps forward in their spiritual journey. I mean, a large majority of the people who are coming to church here have taken significant steps in their spiritual journey in the last several months, and that's very, very encouraging to us. The other thing that was exciting was the number of people who are inviting their friends and family. In fact, if you're new here, my guess and chances are is that you're here because someone invited you, because maybe you saw how ugly they used to be, and then like they begin to follow Jesus, and not they weren't necessarily transformed overnight, and so you've had to be patient, but you've seen something in them change, and you started saying, wow, okay, this must be real, because this person used to be a real jerk, okay? And if you're sitting next to them, just raise your hand. I'd like to see. No, I'm kidding, don't do that. But you know, so you've seen something change, and so you've been drawn to just see what it's all about. And so that's been really great to see that, even in the survey of how excited people are, and they're inviting their friends and all that. The other thing is the diversity of the Orchard. Can I just tell you, I mean, the fact that this church is not just full of just a bunch of young people. I mean, I love young people because, you know, I think I'm there with you, right? Young, right? Okay, anyway. But the fact that it's not just a bunch of young people, that there are also middle-aged people here, there's older people here, that bring something very important and bring a seasoning and a wisdom to our church community really, really excites me, and we really value that. The survey also shed some light on how we as a church community are doing in terms of challenging people to take ownership, personal ownership of the Orchard. And while it certainly showed strong excitement, and while it showed a lot of enthusiasm, and it showed a lot of growth and all of that, it also showed a couple of areas that I think really indicated to us that we need to do a better job of challenging people in. And a couple of those areas are in the areas of serving and in the area of giving. Serving and giving. And so today I want to talk about those for a few minutes because, in fact, I want to talk to them sort of from two different angles because I think on one hand, while God gives us all kinds of really beautiful motivation as to why we should serve and why we should give and why it's important all that, I think it's also important, especially for those of you who consider this your church home, it's important that we also point out the very practical need of these two very important areas as well. And so I want to do that, and I want to begin by talking about serving. Now, serving is I think one of the most important things we could ever talk about as a church because almost everything we do here is led and accomplished through volunteers, right? I mean, think about that. Almost everything we do here is accomplished and done through volunteers. And what a lot of people don't realize is how many people it actually takes to function as a church community. In fact, we currently have, and this number just blew my mind, we currently have right around 400 people who are serving in some capacity here at the Orchard. Isn't that amazing? I mean, think about that, 400 people. I mean, 5 years ago, we didn't even have that many people attending our church. Okay, and then get this. This is interesting too. On any given weekend, okay, in our gatherings, on any given weekend, we have three gatherings: Saturday night, two Sunday morning. It takes around 150 of those people to make the weekends happen here at the Orchard. You think about that: 150 people, which means that while some of you were still snoozing this morning, some of you look like you are still snoozing. But while some of you were snoozing this morning and you were reaching over to turn off your alarm clock, there were already people here who were preparing to give you a great experience at the Orchard this morning. I mean, 150 people, that deserves a hand clap, I think so, right? Thank you. I mean, seriously, almost everything you see here is done via our amazing volunteers. I mean, for example, take our videos. We do a lot of videos. 95% of the videos we do here are filmed by Orchard people, are edited and produced by Orchard people, okay? I mean, think about just what happens in this room alone on a weekend, okay? For example, the lighting that you see, like during the worship, that this is to help enhance the environment and that kind of thing. Every single movement of every single light has been programmed by a volunteer who shows up here during the week to program every transition and every movement of light that you see. Okay, so this is not like, let's just push a button and the lights will just do whatever they want. Okay, this is programmed, it's intentional. And get this, we did some figuring this week, or I did some figuring, that it takes, for those who volunteer, especially in the media and the production and what happens in this room, They are giving approximately 16 hours of their week towards what happens here on the weekends. 16 hours of their week is going into what happens here on the weekends, okay? I mean, just to prepare for one weekend. Music rehearsals, okay? Planning things like the lights, the background, the videos, go on down the list. And that's over and above their regular jobs. And I mean, they are sacrificing a huge part of their week and their weekend to do what they do here. And guess what? They love it. They love it. And you know what? We love it too, don't we? We love it too. Let's give it up for those who make this happen. Yeah. And, you know, here's what a lot of people don't realize too. I almost went ninja on someone the other day when they asked me this. They said, Scott, where do you guys purchase all your sermons and stuff from? I said, what? Scott, where do you purchase like all your graphics and your sermons? Where do you purchase those from? I said, okay. I know you probably don't know, so I'm not going to get angry at you, but listen, here's what you need to know, okay? And a lot of people just don't realize this. Now listen, you can understand, nothing's really original, so we get inspired by all kinds of ideas, right? I mean, you read books, you hear things, you get ideas. But we create and plan out every one of our series here at the Orchard. I mean, we sit in meetings and we creatively plan out. We do all of our graphics, all of our logos, all that stuff is created by volunteers here in the Orchard. And what's cool about it, see, here's what's awesome, is that the stuff that we create here, we can end up giving that away to other churches, like new church plants and churches that are just starting, who may not have the people like we have to do some of these things. And so we're able to take it and give it to churches who are just getting started and bless them with it. So the work that's happening here just keeps going and going and going. Isn't that awesome? And so anyway, speaking of logos, I want to show you something this morning. 6 years ago, we changed our name to Orchard Valley Community Church. And at that time, we created a logo, which is the one you've seen around here quite a bit. Go ahead and show that real quick. This is our current logo that you see like on our sign and things like that. And of course, at that time, this was a huge step up for us. I mean, it was a huge shift for us. And this logo worked great for who we were 6 years ago. Well, about a year ago, we began to sense that it was time to make another change. Because, of course, you want your logo. I mean, it's an important thing. You want your logo to really reflect who you are as an organization or whatever it is that you might do. And so about a year ago, we began to think about rebranding our church, new logo, new website, that kind of thing. And about the same time, there was a couple in our church who started attending here. And they came to me and they offered to help us. And basically they said, okay, and the cool part is they own a company that does websites and branding and logos for some of the largest churches in America, okay? And they attend the Orchard. And so they came to me one weekend and they said, okay, we believe in the Orchard. We want to donate our time and we want to donate our talent to create a logo and a new website for the Orchard. Would you like us to do that? And I said, well, let me fast and pray about that. And I said, yes, 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 I do, yes. Yeah, you know what? Let us take a congregational vote, okay? No, yes, we want you to help. And so over the course of several months, we began working with them on a new logo. And you're going to see it today for the first time. And I'm excited to share it with you. Now, when we started planning this logo, we said, okay, we want a logo that on one hand looks very excellent, but not too like corporate or too sleek. But one that really kind of shows the artistic expression of the Orchard and sort of the organic nature of what we're about here. And so we've come up with a logo that we're really excited about, and I want to show it to you right now. Check this out. Isn't that cool? My 2-year-old son, when he saw that, he said, oh, tattoo! Tattoo. and here's the other thing now. We also, this couple in our church, they also put together or created and built a website. And by the way, if you knew how much money it cost to put together this website, or normally what it would cost, okay, you can understand. You know how much they charge us to do this? Close your eyes. You'll see the figure. Zero. Okay, here's a glimpse of what's going to be released in the next 10 days. Check this out. Isn't that cool? And I mean, yeah. And here's the thing. It's going to be super easy to navigate, very simple. They're going to click, like on the left you have music. They can click on that and see our band and hear our music. They can click on the middle and hear part of the teaching. They can click on the far right, and it tells them about the series, a video clip of the series coming up. They're going to be able to listen to the sermons. They'll be able to get to know the staff a little bit on the page, sign up to volunteer. I mean, it's going to be a really, really great tool for us as a church community. And what you got to know is, see, this is the result of having people who are committed, not just to serve, but who are committed to serve with excellence. And so we're real excited. I mean, I could go on down the list. I mean, Orchard Kids, what we do here each week with our kids. So you got to understand, we don't do childcare here at the Orchard, okay? This is not like IKEA where you're going to drop the kids off at the little playland and then go shop, okay? No. This is, listen, our leaders and our teachers here at the Orchard are praying over our children. And they are teaching our children that they are loved unconditionally by God. And they are breaking that message down in such a simple way that those kids aren't going to walk out, you know, we're not challenging them to quote the Old Testament, okay? But if they can walk out knowing that they are loved by God, and if they can walk out knowing that God can use them even as a tiny little child, God can use them in their lives, then you know what? We've hit a home run if we can do that. And so we're investing in the lives of our kids. Our volunteers, and they love what they do. So many of you serve in the Orchard Kids areas, in the nursery, whatever it is. And I know that you consider it an honor or privilege to invest in the kids. I mean, again, go on down the list. Welcome teams, same thing. Common Grounds Coffee Bar, the most spiritual ministry in the church is the coffee bar. Our student ministry, our junior hires, and we go on down the list. The bottom line is it takes a lot. It takes a ton of committed people to do what we do here each weekend. And not just to do it, but to do it with excellence. And I mean, I think the reason that people do it with excellence is because they understand what's at stake. And they understand that whether they're singing on the stage or they're in the nursery changing an atomic bomb diaper, okay, they understand that every single part is important. Every part is important, and every part is contributing to the mission. And so what's happened is, so they embrace this attitude that says, you know what, show me where the most critical need is, and I will jump in and I will serve faithfully. And instead of waiting forever to try to get involved or waiting forever to try to figure out what my special perfect gifting is, just show me where I'm needed, and I'm going to dive in. I'm going to jump in, and I'm going to serve, and I'm going to plug in where God can use me the most. And I'm going to trust that over time, God will take me to where my giftings are the strongest. I mean, that's the heart of those who are serving here at the Orchard. And see, here's the deal. I know there are a lot of you, even just looking around the room right now, there are a lot of you who I know you're serving. You're a part of what's happening here. You're making a difference. But I also know that there are a whole lot of you who are not yet serving and involved. You know, this survey that we did, it showed us something interesting. It showed us how many people are serving and how many people are not. And it indicated to us some very good news. On one hand, it indicated that roughly 44%, almost 44% of those attending the Orchard regularly are serving in the church on a regular basis, about 44%. Now, that's a really good number. That may not seem like a lot, but when you consider that most churches can't even get 20% of their people to serve, that's a really great number. 43.7% of people serving. Okay, the not so good news is that the survey also indicated that about 50% of the people who attend are not serving anywhere. Okay, 50%. So half the people who attend the Orchard on a regular basis are not serving anywhere, which means there are a lot of you who could be helping us to make a difference. And you could be helping to contribute of your talent and your time in some significant ways and in a way that allows you to be a part of something greater than just what you could ever do on your own. And it also means that if those of you who aren't serving begin to serve, even just once a month, you realize we would immediately have 300, 400 new volunteers immediately. So the first thing I'm going to challenge every person to who calls the Orchard their church home, or maybe I should say it this way. If you're being blessed by the Orchard on a regular basis, okay, but all you're doing is warming a chair, okay, I'm going to challenge you to stop consuming and start engaging through serving. And regardless of whether or not you feel like you have anything to offer, because I know there's always some of us who say, you know, I would love to serve, but I just don't have anything. I have no talent whatsoever. No talent. No, listen, you do. You do have something to offer. And over time, and here's the great thing about the leaders we have here and the staff, is that we're committed to helping you tap in and to discover how God can use you. Okay, and one of the most beautiful things about serving is what it does on the inside of you. Man, this last week on Facebook, I put a little question on there. I said, would you just share in one or two sentences how serving has impacted your life? And listen to some of these responses. One person said, it's given my life more purpose. I mean, reading that does so much to me as a pastor to see that. One other person wrote, I know whatever small part I play, I'm contributing to the mission. Someone said, it challenges me and keeps me focused on others. And listen to this. This is great. Volunteering has given me the opportunity to feel more like a family member rather than just being a church member. I mean, you hear that? I mean, some of you, you're feeling, man, I just don't feel connected at the Orchard. As you begin to serve, you will begin feeling connected. They said, I feel more ownership of the Orchard now that I'm serving. I mean, say that is the beauty of serving. And in a few minutes, I'm going to give you an opportunity to sign up to serve. We'll talk about that in a minute. But let me talk about the second thing. And this is the part that where, for some of you, it gets a little bit more uncomfortable. And I want to talk about giving. Okay, and again, I want to talk to those of you who are being blessed by what's happening here at the Orchard and who believe that this is the place for you. And what I want to do is I want to give you two reasons why you should be engaged in giving at the Orchard, okay, or in any church community for that matter. And the first reason is because, okay, and by the way, this is going to be so spiritual that you'll probably fall out of your chair, okay? But the first reason is that giving is important in the local church is because, well, it's how the church operates. Isn't that deep? That's so theologically deep. I'm sure you're still trying to figure out what I'm saying, right? No, it's how the church operates, right? Listen, here's what you got to know, because some people don't realize this. The church, I can't say this without laughing, the church is not subsidized by the government. Okay, we've had no bailout money showing up at our church, okay? We are not subsidized by a denomination. No, there's no parent organization that is funding us whatsoever. Listen, everything we do here, everything, the seat, the chair that you're sitting in, the carpet that I'm standing on, the speakers on the stage, the screens, this building, everything we do here is done because of people's giving to the Orchard. Everything we do is through people's giving at the Orchard, okay? And just like your family has a mortgage, we have a mortgage. Ours is probably higher than yours. So if you're really, really well off and your mortgage is not an issue, we could trade, okay? But we have utilities, just like your family has utilities. We have insurance. We have a staff. I mean, since the church is a lot more than just what happens on Saturdays or Sundays, we have a staff. And by the way, we have an amazing staff here at the Orchard. And amen, yeah, we really do. But my point is this: it takes a lot of people serving, and it takes a lot of people giving to do what we do here each week. And of course, part of the responsibility we have as those leading the church is to make sure that we are being the best stewards possible. And which is why, as leaders, we are constantly sitting down and we are looking at our giving, we're looking at our budgets, we're constantly asking questions, we're constantly looking at ways that we can save, ways that we can adjust, and ways we can not spend as much, and all of that kind of thing. And of course, just like many of you have done in your own families or in your businesses or whatever it is you might have, we've done a lot of that as a church, and there have been several areas that we've decided to cut. There's been several areas we tried to scale down in because we know that you're doing that in your life. And so it makes sense for us to do that. But the problem is, here's the problem, okay? The problem is, even though we've stopped spending in some areas, we haven't stopped growing. Okay, so do you see how that creates kind of some tension for us, right? I mean, that creates a challenge, okay? It's like, imagine your family growing. In fact, our rate of growth in 5 years, and it's not all about this, but I just want to paint this picture for you. In 5 years, we've grown 300%. Okay, so imagine your family growing 300% in 5 years. I mean, imagine going from like having three kids to, you know, what it would be like, nine children in 5 years. Some of you are like, what? That's not that, we have 19, you know? So, well, we will pray for you, okay? But here's the thing. I mean, imagine your family going from three to nine in 5 years, but not being able to match that growth financially. Or having you know, 20 or 25% of your church carrying the weight of that, okay? So that's sort of the tension that we live in around here at the Orchard, and that's one of the reasons we can't thank you enough, okay? Those of you who are giving and who are supporting the Orchard, we can't thank you enough for being a part of what's happening here financially, okay? I mean, you need to know that it is making a difference. Don't ever forget that at the end of the day, since everything we do is about our mission, okay, at the end of the day, everything you give to the Orchard ultimately is being used to reach people, reach lives. And please don't ever forget that. Now, of course, like I said with the survey, it showed us a lot of things. One of the things it showed us is that there are many, 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 many of you who are here week in and week out, and you're growing, and you're being inspired, and you're inviting your friends, and God is doing some great things in your life, but you are not helping to support the Orchard financially. And I don't think it's because you don't want to. I don't think it's ever really that. I think most people want to be involved. Most people want to give. I think it's probably a lot of reasons. I think there are many of you who are really struggling right now financially. Some of you have lost jobs. Some of you were let go very suddenly. And so you've struggled financially. And I just want to say to you that if that's where you're at and you're unable to give, I want you to know you're welcomed here and you are loved here whether you give or don't give. We understand. Okay? But then I know that there are also some of you where it's not so much about that. It's just that this is a very new thing for you of giving to a church. And you've kind of come from a background where maybe your giving was more like sort of like tipping God, right? Like you know, I'll give $5 here, you know, tonight. And you don't realize how much we really depend on those who call this their home church to operate. Okay? And then there are some of you who are just waiting to be asked. And so the ask is going to come in a few minutes. I just so you know that, okay? But here's the thing to understand about giving, okay? It's never about everybody giving equally. And it's really not even about the amount that you give. I mean, let me show you what the scriptures say, because this is really important. Paul says this, the Apostle Paul says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. He says this, "You must each decide in your heart how much to give." And I love how he says this, you need to decide in your heart, not your head, because your head just goes like this with your emotions, right? So you must decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. For God loves a person who gives, what's the word? Cheerfully. God loves a person that can give cheerfully. See, here's the thing. This is why we don't pile on the pressure on people when it comes to giving. All right? That's why we don't stand up here every week and beg you to give. I mean, you know, there's times we want to do that. There's times that I go, oh my gosh, I got to get up and I got to, maybe I should threaten people. I don't know. Maybe I should wear like ragged clothes or no clothes. I mean, maybe that would, no, I'm kidding. People would be giving right away, right? Clothing fund for Scott quickly. or just a box or something. Okay. But anyway, but see that's why we always say, like, to those of you who are visiting, we say if you're visiting, because we understand money's a touchy subject, and we understand if people are visiting. I mean, and we've all seen the abuses, haven't we? I mean, let's face it, we've seen the TV evangelists who you know, get on and wearing their Rolex watches and their Armani suits saying they need your money, and it's like they're driving Mercedes, and they can't even relate to the guy who's struggling to pay his electrical bill. You know what I mean? And so we understand that. And we understand it takes time to trust a church. That's why if you can't trust the Orchard, you should wait to give until you can trust us, because otherwise you can't give cheerfully, okay? And so that's why we give that disclaimer. But let me also say that little disclaimer we do give, that's for those who are visiting, okay? And not for those who are here every week, okay? And consistently, or who consider the Orchard to be their church home. Because here's the thing, listen, if everyone who calls the Orchard gave consistently, do you realize what would happen? I mean, if everyone just did their part, do you realize what would happen? Think about it this way, okay? Out of the 750 people who sit in this room on Saturday, and the two services Sunday mornings, adults, okay? We have, on average, out of 700 or 750 people, we have, on average, 170 giving units. Okay, this is out of 700 or 750 people. There are about 170 people that are keeping this place going. Okay, and these are people or families who either give online or they write a check or we're able to track their giving so we know. That's 170 people that enable us to do what we do here each week. And I can't tell you, to those of you who are in that 170 group, thank you. You have no idea. You have no idea how much we rely on you, okay? But it shouldn't be that heavy on those 170 people. And by the way, their total giving averages out to be about $20,000 a week, which comes out to about $118 per week per giving unit. Now, obviously, some give more than 118, some give less, but it averages out to about 118. Now, let me just show you what would happen, though, and this is going to blow your mind, okay? If let's just say out of that 700 or 750 people, even just 200 more started engaging in giving, okay? So that's out of the 700 or so people we have here in this room each weekend. If just 200 more people begin giving consistently, our giving would increase from $20,000 a week. And by the way, that might seem like a small number to you, or a large number to you, $20,000 a week, but you got to understand, when you consider the size of our church and the amount and the ministry need that a church our size has, you're going to realize that $20,000 is far below where we need to be, okay? I'll tell you, our $20,000 is, I mean, there are weeks where it is tough to pay salaries. There are weeks where it is tough to be caught up. Like, I mean, we're not caught up right now, and that's we haven't always been in that place, but the church is growing, and we can't stop doing ministry. We just got to keep going, okay? And so if 200 more people would get engaged in giving, even at that same average of $118 a person or whatever it is, our giving would go from 20,000 a week to like 44,000 a week. I mean, that's a huge jump, okay? And that's really a lot closer to where we need to be. And what you got to understand is what that would allow us to do, first of all, not only would every need be met, but the global support of missions that we could accomplish, the local outreach support here in Aurora, the investment into our staff and into our leaders, our ministry environments, all of these things would increase significantly. And we would be able to take some huge steps of faith that we feel God is calling us to take right now, but we can't because we're just trying to maintain, and we've got to get beyond that. And the bottom line is we would have what we need if everybody did their part. If everybody did their part. I mean, just imagine, though, what this would do, not just here and there. Imagine what this would do in your life. Okay, because see, here's the thing. This isn't just about the church being supported, okay? Because ultimately, God is our source. Okay, God uses people, but ultimately God is our source. We look to him to provide our needs. But here's the thing. Think about what happens to you in your life in the process of giving. I mean, it begins to change you. And that's why the Bible talks so much about money. I mean, it's like don't get mad at Scott for talking about money, because this is just what the Bible says. Okay? I mean, the Bible talks a ton about money and material possessions. In fact, and I think the reason it does goes back to something Jesus once said that is probably one of the most convicting statements found anywhere in the scriptures. Convicting on one hand, freeing on the other, but it's these words right here. And I think this is really the second reason that giving is so important in a church. Right here, listen to these words. Jesus said this, Matthew 6:21. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You know what he's saying? He's saying that your heart follows your money. Think about that. Your heart follows your money. You want to know where someone's heart is? You want to know what someone is passionate about? Look at their checkbook. Huh? Seriously, look at their checkbook. Look at their credit card statements. In fact, just dig into their purse, right, the person next to you. Look in their purse right now. No, I'm kidding. Don't do that. No, but you want to know what someone's passionate about. Look and see where they're spending their time. Look and see where they're spending their treasure, okay? And here's the thing you got to understand. Look, God does not need your money. God is not suffering right now, okay? God is okay. He is well off, okay? He does not need your money. But what he does need and what he does want is this right here, your heart. And he knows that if he has your money, if you're putting him first, he's going to have your heart. He wants your heart. And he also wants you and me as his followers to recognize and to remember that everything we have in life belongs to God. Everything. Everything in life belongs to God, which means, this is powerful, which means that ultimately God is your source. Right? I mean, if you really believe that everything belongs to God, then what that means is that God is your source. He is your provider. And while he may use your job, and usually does use your job to provide for you, he's also not limited to your job. He's not limited to the stock market. He's not limited to the economy, which is one of the most freeing things that you could put your trust in right now is in God, not the economy, not in your job, but in God. I mean, I'm telling you, it's freeing. It's freeing. People think that a life of giving is going to, keep them from really doing a whole lot, but it's freeing. And yet, here's what's sad about it, is that this is typically one of the last areas of people's lives that they surrender to God. It's one of the last areas they surrender to God. I mean, it's like, okay, God, here's my heart, here's my worship, here's my family, especially my two-year-old who's driving me nuts. God, here's all these things. But when it comes to surrendering our money, our material possessions, man, it is such a tough thing for so many of us. But I just wonder, I mean, what would happen if instead of our finances being the last thing we surrender, what if it became one of the first things we surrendered? I mean, think about that. I mean, if it's true that our hearts follow our money, imagine what would happen if you made that one of the first areas of surrender in your life. Imagine how that would impact everything else. But here's the thing, okay? And this is where it all starts getting a little bit uncomfortable, all right? The fact that it's not an easy step to take does not erase the fact that one day all of us are going to stand before God, and we are going to give an account of how well we managed our time, our talent, our treasure. One day we will all give an account. And it would be easy for me to not say those words, because that's one of the most convicting thoughts that I could ever. I mean, there's not a person in here who doesn't feel that, including me. God says, keep me first. And look, here's the thing. I mean, that's why. See, this is one of the most important things that we could ever talk about. One of the most important areas of life that we could ever challenge you in. I mean, you know, it's never easy to talk about money. I mean, because, you know, there's always people who are going to criticize you for that. But you know what? We can't afford not to talk about it. This isn't just about the church challenging. This is about God. God has been challenging his people in regards to this for a long, long time. I mean, all the way back, if you think about it, all the way back to the Garden of Eden, what does God do? God says, okay, Adam and Eve, here's this beautiful garden, okay? And I want to, he places them in this beautiful garden and says, okay, enjoy it. Walk around naked, okay? Have a great time and enjoy the fruit and everything. But here's the thing. I want you to remember whose it is. Okay, I want you to remember that it all belongs to me, and the way you're going to show me that is by making sure that you don't touch that one tree over there. You can enjoy all of it and manage it and all that, but don't forget it's mine, okay? And the way you're going to show me that is by not touching that tree over there. Leave that tree alone. And then, of course, for us today, what does God say? Well, one of the most basic and systematic ways that God has shown us and given us to show him that we really trust that everything belongs to him, one of the most basic and systematic ways God has given us to show him that is through what's called tithing. Now the word tithe is a word that literally means a tenth, 10%, a tenth. And for thousands and thousands of years, God's people have given back 10% of everything they earn back to God, as a way of worshiping him, as a way of saying, God, we believe that everything we have in life belongs to you. And see, this is not about it being a like, if you don't tithe, you're gonna be cursed by God, or if you don't, you know, God's not gonna love you or anything like that. This is about learning to take steps forward in this journey of generosity. Because that ultimately is what God calls us to. I mean, 10%. 10% really, that should just be the starting point. It's like training wheels, right? It's to get started. It was never meant to be the end, okay? God wants us to constantly be growing in our generosity. And see, here's what's amazing about it, okay? This is what blows my mind. It's the only place in the Bible that we are told that we should test God is when it comes to tithing. It's the only place. In fact, let me show it to you. Malachi chapter 3, verse 8. Listen to how this is worded. It's powerful. Malachi 3, verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings. And then look at this, verse 9. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. Now, the storehouse today would be the local church. It's how churches are supported. It's through people's tithing, okay? Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And then listen to this. He says, test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. You see that? God says, test me in this. I mean, it's the only place in the scriptures where God says, test me. In fact, there's other places where we're told, don't test God. Don't you even dare test God. But when it comes to this area of our money, God says, now you can test me here, okay? Test me, prove me, try me out. Okay, in other words, if you don't believe I exist, tithe. I will prove to you that I am real. And see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you and I have room enough for it. Listen, can I tell you, I'm so thankful that in my life, I had parents who taught me and instilled within me the importance of tithing. And even though I fought them on it, and I didn't want to do it, because, you know, a dime is a lot of money when you're four or five, right? But they taught me this. And can I tell you something? Here's the thing. One of the things that we've learned in our life, and many of you could have experienced this in your lives as well. But I can honestly say that for my wife and for me, we've been able to do more on that 90% that is blessed by God than on that 100% that isn't. God has always provided. And so this is the second thing that I want to challenge you in this weekend, is not just to serve, but to begin engaging financially and supporting the Orchard through tithing. And for some of you, you know, taking this step of serving is going to be a lot easier than taking the step of tithing. For others, maybe not. But my guess is for many of you, tithing is going to be a really tough step, or it's going to be a challenge for you. You're going to be scared to death to do it. But let me just be clear, because I've heard some people say, well, here's what I'm going to do, Scott. Let me just kind of make a deal with you. I'm going to actually tithe my time by serving. So that's going to be my tithe. Okay, well, hold on a minute. Okay, because that's just not biblical, okay? Because we're actually called to be generous in both, okay? We're called to be generous in our tithe, and we're called to be generous in our time, okay? So we should be engaging in both, okay? It's a good thought. It sounds good, but it's not what the scriptures teach us, okay? Because as followers of Jesus, we're called to be generous in every single area of our lives. See, my hope is that you start tithing, and you find that you can't outgive God, and you just continue to be more generous and more generous. And see, here's the thing. There are so many amazing opportunities around us that we could be sowing seed in and supporting things that are happening right here in our community, in places around the world. You'll hear more about that in the days to come. But these are some big challenges. But these are challenges that God gives us in our lives and that stretch us and to help us to become the people that he created us to be. And I want to start, though, let's talk about the serving challenge. You have a blue card that looks like this, probably under your seat or on your seat. Would you take this out for just a second, okay? This is where we actually take this step and take a pen in our hands and we fill this out. Now, this blue card is our serving challenge. And what we've done is we've said, what are the top areas that we need people to plug into right now? And on the back of it, you're going to see a list of areas. And I'm going to ask you to mark off, in fact, it says, please pick the two areas you're most interested in serving, with one being your first choice and two being your second choice, okay? Now, just think practically here, okay? Welcome teams. If you are just always grumpy, that's probably not a great area for you, okay? But there's welcome teams, greeters and seaters. We have our first response team, okay? So if you're a firefighter or if you're a police officer, a paramedic, or possibly even some kind of ninja, we would definitely love to have you involved. I don't know why I've got ninja on my mind. Maybe God's calling me to something. I don't know. Anyway, we've got parking teams. Here's the deal, okay? We need to put together a parking team because for two reasons. One, okay, the sermon begins not in here. The sermon begins in the parking lot. Okay, when people pull up, they begin making decisions about what they think of a place immediately. Okay, so we want to greet people out in the parking lot. We want to say hi to them. And the other thing is, by the way, I don't know why it's so low today. Maybe because I said last weekend, if you don't want to be challenged, don't come to church. Gosh, that's funny. Okay. That's all right, because we're gonna do this, okay? So anyway, what was I saying? Oh, when more new people start coming again after all the ones we've lost, apparently, we really we really have a problem in the parking lot, and we don't want people to crash into each other. So we need a parking team. Media, if you're a writer or if you know how to proof things like that, articles and things like that, we're constantly writing. Graphic design, web development, video capturing, editing, photography. Another one is production. If you like to be involved in things that happen in this room or in other areas of the church, lighting, multimedia, audio. Common Grounds Coffee Bar, okay? Orchard Kids is another one. Huge area, major area. Orchard Students, another very important area. So fill this out. You're just going to mark off number one area that you want to be involved in, second area. And listen, this is not... We're not going to take this and then send you a schedule and say, okay, you're in. We're going to call you or contact you with more information, okay, so you can make a decision. But take this and fill this out. And again, use common sense, okay? Experiment a little bit. Don't be afraid. Look, we don't mind if you try something out. If you feel like then later that it's not a good area for you, or if we feel like it's not a good area for you, we'll just talk about it and try to find an area that better suits you, okay? So thank you, though, for being a part of that. And thank you for being willing to make a difference. Now, here's the other thing, okay? Since our number one goal is to help you take steps of obedience in your life, whether we're teaching on marriage, whether we're teaching on spiritual practices or parenting or whatever it is, that our number one goal is to help you be obedient, okay? And what we realize is that being obedient in some of these areas can be a challenge, especially when it comes to being obedient in our finances. And I know there are a lot of you, you're resonating with the idea of giving and tithing, but you're scared to death to do it. We understand that. I mean, especially if you've never lived this way before, it's an adjustment, it's a change. And at the same time, it doesn't change the fact that this is a very, very important area of our lives. In fact, so important that God says we should test him. God says we should test him. And so we want to help you do that. Okay? We want to help you test God. And so here's what we're going to do. All right? If you are not currently tithing, all right? If you're not currently tithing, we want to help you to take this next step by challenging you to do exactly what God said, to test him by tithing for 3 months. We want to challenge you to tithe for 3 months, starting next weekend, okay? And here's the deal. After those 3 months, if you decide that this was not a good thing for you to do, if you decide that this was not a good decision, or if you feel like you made a mistake, after 3 months, we will refund every dime you gave in your tithe for those 3 months. No questions asked. We'll refund it. Every dime that you gave during those 3 months, we'll give it back to you. I know, it's crazy. And some of you are like, are you crazy? No, it's just that we believe this. Seriously, we believe this, okay? So we're willing to take a huge risk to help you take the step of faith in your life. We will provide a safety net for you. And if at the end of 3 months, you're not convinced that this was a great decision in your life, all you have to do is let us know. We'll give you a check back for the tithe that you gave in those 3 months. All right? Hand out those cards, would you guys? We have another card. This is our tithing challenge. And let me just say, by the way, if you're visiting, okay, let me just say we're glad you're here, but please know this is not for you, okay? We're talking to those who have really decided to make this their home church. But here's the other thing. Some of you are already tithing, but I want to challenge even those of you who are already tithing to even take another step forward in your giving, okay? Because like I said earlier, tithing is not the end goal. Tithing is just to get us started on this journey of generosity. And so I want to encourage you, for some of you, maybe it's moving beyond that 10% and saying, you know what, next month or next week, I'm going to start giving 11%. I'm going to start giving 20%. I'm going to start giving 30%, whatever it might be, and moving beyond just the tithe into some maybe even extreme generosity. Now, I want you to take the card, and I just want to go through it with you real quick. It's very simple. On the one side, it has a place for you to write your name, your address, city, state, zip. Well, state would probably be Illinois. Phone number, email, signature. Okay, we have you sign this because we want you to really be serious about this. And then there's a little box that says, "I plan to use online giving." Let me talk about online giving real quick. Okay, one of the best decisions of my wife and I made was to do online giving, because let me tell you, you know this as well as I do. All kinds of things compete for your tithe every week, don't they? It's easy to neglect that. It's easy to let that fall, to be the last thing we give God instead of the first thing. And so we've just set it up to where every month, or I think it's every couple of weeks, it automatically is withdrawn out of our checking account and given to the church. We don't even have to think about it. And for some of you, that's the best thing you could ever do, okay? And so if you're interested in online giving, just mark that box. We will send you an email this week. And I mean, only those of you who are really going to do this, mark off in that box. We will email you the link. You can sign up immediately to begin this tithe challenge for 3 months, okay? There's some other details on the back. Now, we're going to ask you to take these cards in just a minute and turn them in. Some of you, though, here's the deal. Listen, this is important. Some of you, you're ready to do it. You're ready to put it in today. And I would encourage you, if you are, put it in today, okay? Because if you wait till next week, you're going to talk yourself out of it. Right? So you need to do it today. Others of you, though, if you're married, you need to talk to your spouse. Okay? Because here's the deal. Women always connect with this stuff better than men anyway. I just know this. Women are always more responsive. And so what's going to happen is some women here who are married are going to sign up, and they're going to go home and tell their husbands, "Hey, guess what? We're going to start giving 10% of our income to the church." And your husband's going to go, "What? What's your pastor's name? I'm going to call him. I don't want your husband to call me this week, okay? Listen, because I'll have Larry Boatwright deal with him, okay? No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, some of you need to take it home and discuss it with your spouse. But here's the thing. Explain the challenge to them, because for a lot of us, our spouses might say, "Ah, you know, we'd love to tithe. There's no way we can do it." Well, try it. See what might happen. And I know for some of you, you're still scared to death. You don't know, you need to know you're not alone, okay? Many others, and I look out across the room, I know many of you have taken this step. In fact, in the last like 18 months, there's been like 125, 130 people who've taken this step. And it's not always the results. We're not promising you that bags of coins are going to drop out of heaven or that you're going to be debt-free in 3 months. It's not about that. This is about, number one, it's about obeying God. And the joy and the joy that you feel when you are obeying God. But God also does promise that he's going to bless you in ways that money can't buy. I want you to meet a couple before you go who took this tithing challenge, and I want you to hear a little bit of their story. And you're going to recognize them because they were the couple that was standing on this stage a little bit earlier. So would you check this out? Watch this video real quick. Adam and Sarah Mock, thank you guys for taking the time to be here. I mean, you guys, a young family. You've been married how long?
12 years.
12 years. So, you know, you're a young family, you got two little kids. I mean, how long after you started coming to the Orchard was it like you kind of knew maybe this would be the place you'd want to stick around?
It did take some time. I was sold before even we got here, honestly, because I had said to Sarah, you know, coming from a different church, I said, how do we not know that this goes beyond us just finding a church, because God's not linear. Mm. You know, God's not A to B. Mm. God is, while you're going from A to B, I'm working everything else around. So I said, you don't know what role we have to play in that church, how we're going to be grown through that church, and the people who will be grown through our participation and the overall interaction there. Yeah, I don't want to sound like cliche or trite here, but it really is like that Kennedy quote, if you just change it a little bit, but not that, you know, ask not what your church can do for you, but what you can do for your church. Mm. Because I feel very, very strongly, and Sarah feels very strongly, that church is what you put into it is what you're going to get out of it. Here at the Orchard, there's a real quality to being able to do life together, making it more like the Book of Acts, in terms of one heart and one mind, and being able to relate to everyone, because the doctrine is biblically sound, but because the real life application is so poignant.
Well, wait a minute. Tithing challenge. Explain what.
The tithing challenge.
And had you ever heard anything about like this before?
No, never. It was a 3-month challenge. Tithe 10%, and you made no promises on God blessing you back financially for that, but you did say God will bless you. And so you offer the tithing challenge, and I remember looking at Sarah, and I felt like I got punched in the gut. It was like, oh man, I was angry. Mm. I was angry. I was angry with you. I was angry with the Orchard. I wasn't angry with God. I was actually angry at the truth of what we were being challenged with.
We just didn't know how we were going to do it financially. Yeah.
There was a mountain.
So this wasn't an easy, I mean, I think sometimes people are waiting in that moment like for it to feel easy. But it's like, if you think about what has God ever called you to do that was easy, you know?
It was hard. We had real challenges that everyone faces. And the truth is, I don't think anyone can ever go, now's a good time for me to start tithing 10%. Mm. I've positioned myself where I can do this. Now you're just comfortable, you know? Mm. So
it's like having kids, right? It's
right,
like,
isn't that, exactly.
This is a perfect time.
Yeah. But thankfully, God, you know, God pushes us. There's this great saying about, I get too scared to jump if I wait too long. And it was one of those moments where I was like, if I keep putting this off, you know, we're going to kill the Holy Spirit on this, and it's going to be, there's never a good time to do this. When we decided as a family that this is what we're going to do, we're going to do the 10%, then I got excited because it felt like free fall. It felt like skydiving or something. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, there's a parachute, but there's that chance, you know, what's going to happen. But no, we got very excited, and it felt good, because when you're faced with a conviction and you respond to it and you act on it, God will affirm you in those steps.
So let's fast forward, okay? It's been about a year now since you guys have been at the Orchard. Well, a little over a year, I think. And it's been about a year that you have been tithing with sort of this renewed passion. Tell me how has that impacted your life? I'd just like to hear, how has it impacted you the way you think,
We talk about it constantly. Mm-hmm. Like, in a good way. It used to be the dreaded talk, like we're doing bills, you know, how much are we going to tithe? But even today, we talked about things that are that good things that are happening in our life right now that seem totally unrelated to finances or totally unrelated to tithing. And we said, how do we not know that now these opportunities are opening up because we're being faithful with tithing? These are those blessings that aren't necessarily financial. One of our properties, which we would have to pay for, sold. And we were alleviated of that. At the same time, I got a generous raise from my boss right at the end of the year, which then put us in a better position. And we're not rich by any means, but it put us in a position where we were like, wow. So now it's as if it's the scripture. If you're responsible with a little, I'll make you responsible with a lot. And so it was like, okay, you've tithed this much. What do you do when you get an increase? Do you increase your lifestyle? Or do you increase what you're putting into our, you know, my storehouses? And we got very excited to give more. Right after that happened, we're like, wow, the first thing we got to do is give this back to God. And we were like incredibly stoked to do it because we saw him working. And beyond financially, we were growing in our faith because God was being faithful when we tested him. How desperately he wants to work through people. Mm-hmm. And yet we close the doors and he's like, but I want to bless more than you through this. There's people out there that I want to work through and I want you to have a front row to this. And so, you know, we hold God at bay like that, but it was in that moment, it's like, God, you are blessing and giving without measure. And we were really seeing that we cannot outgive God. Like we were trying.
Here you are a year later. It's been quite a journey. Not everyone's going to have the same results. It's not going to look the same for everyone. But could you just, maybe even look in the camera, just like what would you say to someone who is really thinking of taking that leap? Look right there. Tell them, what would you say?
I would say don't wait another minute, another day. You can't possibly fathom the blessings that God will have for you. They might not be financial, but think about the relationships in your life. Think about situations that you're in. Maybe it's health related. It might be financial. God wants to work through your step of obedience. And I would say once we gave up that Isaac, that thing that we held onto so tightly, as if we could handle it better than God, steward it better than God, he opened the floodgates in ways that have grown us in our faith. We've seen grow people around us and have blessed us in immeasurable ways that we couldn't have even prayed for. So don't, if you're on the fence, man, push yourself over, fall over with great joy. God has something awesome planned for you. If you feel that turn in your stomach right now, take that as a wonderful conviction of the Holy Spirit who is saying, I so desperately want to work through you and give you a front row seat to my glory. So I wouldn't wait a minute.
Preach it, Adam. You guys, thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks. Thank you so much. Appreciate you. Thanks, guys.
No, I really appreciate those guys. And I'll tell you, they're the real deal. I mean, I love just having these conversations. And, you know, Adam and Sarah, it's been really cool to watch their journey and not just watch their generosity grow here at the Orchard, but just watching them be involved in the community, watching them be involved in other things that are happening. And that's the journey I hope we all go on, is that it's not just about being generous in our giving to church, but it's being generous in every arena of our lives. Because, I mean that's really how we become an irreplaceable church, isn't it? And so here's the deal. We're going to close by giving. And I know some of you might be thinking, oh, see, I knew. Okay, so you talk about giving, and then you're going to do the offering. You have people give. And well, here's the thing. And some of you are like, you just were priming us, weren't you? And the answer to that is yes, absolutely. What I was doing was I was building your faith. And because here's the thing, it would be really stupid of us to talk about giving and tithing and then not give you an opportunity to step out in faith and be a part of that. And I promise you that if you were already planning on giving, you're more excited about your giving now than you would have been if you would have given earlier. And so this is actually a great time to give. As you give, this is an act of worship of saying, God, everything we have in life belongs to you, okay? If you're visiting, don't feel obligated to give. If you are giving cash, you should use an envelope. If you're giving a check, you don't need to use the envelope. And if you're interested in online giving, you can indicate that as well on this card. And listen, if you're already serving, or if you're already tithing, you don't need to fill these out. Only if you are serving or beginning to tithe for the first time, okay? So let's take a moment. Let's pray. Before we get back to God. God, it's almost impossible, I think, to talk about generosity without thinking of your generosity towards us. You are such a generous God. I mean, you are the epitome of generosity. The fact that you would give your son Jesus as a sacrifice for the sins of this world. And we are so thankful for that. May we reflect that same generosity. May we reflect that. And as we give right now, we give with a glad and a cheerful heart, because we know that we're not just giving just for the sake of giving. We're not just giving to some organization. We're giving, God, ultimately because, first of all, we want to be obedient to you, but we're giving to knowing, God, that this ultimately results in people's lives being changed. And we pray and ask that would happen. And I also want to pray, God, for those who are really suffering and hurting financially right now in our church community. Because I know there are some, they've lost their jobs, they're struggling, they're in debt up to their eyeballs, and they are stressed, and it's creating a lot of problems in their lives. I want to pray for those, and together as a community, we lift those individuals up to you. And I pray that today, you would fill their hearts with hope. You would fill their hearts with hope. And even today, God, as they leave from here, God, may they leave here with greater faith and greater trust in you than ever before. May they leave here today knowing in their hearts and proclaiming in their hearts that you are their source, you are their provider. We pray for them. We thank you for that, God, and we ask these things together in your son's name. Amen. Amen.
This podcast is a production of The Orchard, a church community located in Aurora, Illinois, whose mission is leading people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. Visit us online at orchardvalleyonline.com.